You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Do you have a minute? I hope so. The truth is, I hope you'll give more than a quick minute to today's message. My topic is managing time. It seems that most of us just don't have enough of it. I've got to go here, I've got to go there, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to go to the doctor, then I've got to go to the drugstore, I've got to pick up the kids from piano lessons. And if we don't get to the store pretty soon and buy some school clothes, there'll be nothing left. Oh, and I just remembered, Diane told me we've got to go to the neighbor's tonight for a barbecue. Hey, I can't keep up with all this. You know the feeling, don't you? It gets oppressive, terribly oppressive, trying to keep up with all the demands that are made upon our time. Many of us would have dropped out a long time ago if the good Lord hadn't given us adrenaline. But God doesn't want you to drop out. He doesn't want you to be oppressed by your busy schedule. He sent His Son into this world of time to make us His people, not slaves of the clock, but His people. St. Paul wrote, "Christ has freed us so that we will be free." Stand firm, then, and do not get caught again under a yoke of slavery. Since so many of us are struggling with busy schedules, we do well to learn from God about managing our time. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Then you will find rest for your souls." Most of us probably think of time as a thing. We think of it as something to use to achieve a goal. And that shows up a lot in our expressions. "How much time will it take?" we say. That suggests that time is a thing that we use to reach some goal. "Do you have a minute?" That's the way I started out today's message. "Time is running out. I'm short of time. Let's buy some more time." In many big cities, traffic reports are given in terms of time. "It'll take you 35 minutes to downtown on the Eisenhower. If you're coming in on the Dan Ryan, travel time is 50 minutes. 20 minutes on the Congress from Harlem to the post office." I remember that I once had to preach in Seymour, Indiana. I asked the pastor, "How far is it?" He said, "So many miles," whatever the number was, I don't remember. "No, no," I said. "I mean, how much time will it take me to get there?" You see, we tend to look at time as a thing. It's something we use to reach a goal. But time isn't simply a thing that we use. If it were, it'd be treated under the commandment that talks about things, "Thou shalt not steal." Time isn't a thing, it's a place. It's the place where we live and worship. You know, in the Ten Commandments, God didn't ask that a temple or church be built. None of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt build a church for worship." God doesn't want worship scheduled for only one time a week and only at a specific location. He wants us to confess His goodness wherever we are. The place where we are is time. That's where we live, and that's where we should worship. That's why there's a commandment all about time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let me read the commandment to you in its entirety from Exodus 20. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." With those words, God told His Old Testament people to rest on the seventh day. That enforced day of rest pointed ahead to Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." The New Testament does not require us to legalistically observe a day of enforced rest. Colossians 2:16 says, "Let no one then say that you are wrong in what you eat or drink, or do on a festival, on the first day of a month, or on a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the body itself is Christ. So most Christians do not observe a literal Sabbath, a day of enforced rest. Some do, but most don't. I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of that question now. What I do want to talk about is that the commandment says, do all your work, and then it says, don't do any work. In that pattern of work and rest, we can worship the Savior. Christian time management starts with the Lordship of God in Jesus Christ. God gave us dominion over the earth. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We've been exercising that dominion ever since, sometimes properly and sometimes improperly. That dominion is exercised through work. The farmer works the field. The factory worker works on the line. The white-collar person works at the desk. Pastors preach, teachers teach, and so it goes. And it doesn't have to be paid work either. Many retired people are very busy with all kinds of projects. I smile when I remember the retired man in my Collinsville congregation who told me he was so busy in his retirement that he can't imagine how he had had time before to go to work. Whether we're employed or retired, work is an exercise of our God-given dominion. But that doesn't make us the Lord. God is still the Lord, and we're not. The dominion that we exercise over our little corners of the world is just a temporary thing. At the end of life, we'll lay down our work. We'll lay down the exercise of our limited dominion. Then we'll come to the full realization that lordship belongs to God. We Christians don't want to wait until the end of our days to confess the Lord. We want to do it already now. A regular habit of stopping work to take rest is a practical way that we can confess that God is Lord. Each time we cease our activities, we remind ourselves that dominion belongs to God. But what if my work isn't all done? So much the better. Walking away from work that hasn't been finished really reminds you who's Lord. I'm not speaking now against occasional overtime and occasional long, hard days. You can't always just up and walk away from work. I understand that very well, but I am speaking against a workaholic mentality. If a person is only working, say for a few hours of sleep, you're leaving yourself wide open for all sorts of temptations, not the least of which is taking yourself too seriously, thinking that you're the Lord of your life. A Christian should have a regular daily pattern of work and rest. Those times of rest remind us that we're not God. We can't constantly exercise dominion. Besides, like they say, the work will be there tomorrow. Having regular patterns of work and rest does something more. It confesses the supremacy of grace over works. We live in a work-oriented world. Day in and day out, our society rewards success and punishes failure. Production quotas at work, chores around the house, grades and tests, traffic signs and signals, statistical analyses, criticisms, punching the clock, all of these are examples of the law's presence in daily life. We need those works of the law so that our society is well-ordered and stable. But being occupied every day with works can tempt us to a works-righteous view of salvation, and that would be terrible. Our works can never satisfy God's law. Only the merits of Jesus Christ do that. All the time that you and I put into work during the week can never match the time that Jesus took for us. Regular rest from work, whether that work is done or not, invites us to lay aside a mentality of works and to find our real rest in God's grace. When you're not working, you can remind yourself that all the work you do, important as it may be, doesn't save you. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God,
not of works, lest any man should boast. God took time for us. After he created the world in 6 days, God rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest because he was tired. Isaiah says that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God didn't rest because he was tired. God took time on that seventh day to identify himself with our human pattern of work and rest. And when God's marvelous creation fell into sin, the Son of God took time to redeem us. It wasn't just time that he gave either. It was his life, his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. For us Christians, times of rest should focus upon our redemption through Christ. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath command is not only given in Exodus, it is also given in Deuteronomy. After Deuteronomy says to observe the Sabbath day by working 6 days and resting the seventh, it says this, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." For us Christians, it's the arms of Christ that occupy our times of rest, arms outstretched on the cross for our redemption, arms now outstretched and inviting us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God and Christ took time for us. We want to worship them with our time. This is going to take discipline. I urge you to do it. Start disciplining yourself into a regular pattern of work and rest. So many people say, "Don't just stand there, do something." I urge you to discipline yourself to stand or sit from time to time and do nothing. Sometimes you can do this physically. Drive or walk away from work. Let your head clear out. Then think about God. Think about his marvelous creation, and when creation fell, his marvelous redemption. When you can't physically get away, do it in your mind. Shut out the world around you and ask God to calm you with his perfect peace. "Be still," God says, "and know that I am God." And learn how to say no. You and I aren't God. We can't do everything. That means we can't do all the good things we'd really like to do. We need to discipline ourselves to say no to some things. And by the way, we should also be sympathetic when other people sincerely tell us that they're unable to give time to something we'd like them to do. Time management takes self-discipline. You can get that by praying to God for it. It's His will that you grow in Christian daily living. And if you need the motivation to pray for that discipline, just remember, He took time for you. Is this practical? It sure is. The Bible says so. Psalm 92 is a psalm of the Sabbath. It says that our rest is filled with thoughts of God. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Is it really practical to regard all time, working and resting, as a place to worship God? Yes, indeed. The psalm goes on to say, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." I'm here to tell you, looking at time, not as a thing, but as a place, a cathedral where we worship God, is eminently practical. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is practical because it's from God. There is also a practical social benefit. Can you imagine what would happen to our families if we disciplined ourselves to stop our activities and take regular time at home together? Not working, not off doing church, school, or community functions, but resting at home together. I've often asked young people this question. What do you think it would be like if you knew that at a regular time every week your whole family would be together? Guess what they said? Yuck! You mean be with my little sister? Be with my parents? That'd be awful. Well, I said it might be awkward at first, but don't you think that after you got over that initial awkwardness, you might start to grow a little closer? You might start to like your little sister. You might understand that your parents really are human beings. They just happen to be older models. And your parents would start to understand that you're human too. You have thoughts and you have feelings like they do. As I said, I've had this discussion with younger people, and they usually admit that regular times of family togetherness would be a good thing. I think we'd be a lot better off if we regularly stopped our frantic doing and we just took time to stand there or sit there by ourselves with our family and most of all with our God who took time for us. Abraham Heschel was a learned Jewish rabbi. He wrote this, "Is there any institution that holds out a greater hope for man's progress than the Sabbath? The Old Testament Sabbath pointed ahead to Jesus Christ. He's the hope of our progress. He took time for us." We've got a lot of problems in this world of ours. People around us need hope. People around us need progress. But above all else, all of us need the grace that frees us from the oppression of the law. We need God's grace in Jesus Christ, and that God has given to us. So now we worship Him, not just for an hour on Sunday, not just in our local church. We worship Him in the cathedral of time. Amen.